If you need a paper tonight, please raise your hand. We've got an outline for you. If you need one, just go like this. Need a couple, three over here. A couple, three or four maybe. That's Brother Tom, if you don't recognize him. He must have come straight from the barber. Back in the back. Need a few more. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This evening, we're going to continue. We just started last week, so I want to welcome everybody to our study for the faith. And this evening, we're going to be learning about our faith in God's Word. And so the way these lessons are going to work for the next 12 weeks are for about six more lessons. We're going to learn about defining the faith. We're going to spend some time defining what the faith is. And then the last 6 weeks of this series, we're going to study demonstrating the faith, how to live it out. So we want to learn what it is and how to live it out. Now, when we're talking about the faith, it's what we believe. And we spent some time last week learning about why we do what we do. It's because of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And so tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the word of the Lord. And we're going to take our text from verses 14 to 17. And it is good to be in God's house. Amen. I am so thankful that you're there. We've got a lot of folks out sick and different things going on this evening, but I'm thankful for each of you that are here, and I pray that you'll be blessed by your time in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to learn more about it tonight and to just have reinforced in our hearts and our minds how we can trust in your word. Please bless each one that's here tonight, and I pray that any of us that need to make a decision for you, Lord, that we would be surrendered to your will, that your Holy Spirit would just convict us and guide us, and that we would just do what you would have us to do, Father. Forgive our sins and bless, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There was an American that was visiting a third world country. And as you know, America, compared to some countries in the world, don't fare so well. I mean, where electricity and running water are rare. And, you know, sometimes Americans can be a little bit arrogant. But there was an American visiting, and he saw a native reading a Bible. And he very proudly smirked, and he said, "In our country, we don't allow the Bible in schools anymore." And the native, I don't think he even looked up, but he replied in broken English. He said, "If Bible not come to my village, we would have eaten you by now." That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. Listen, the Bible makes an impact wherever it goes. The Word of God has an impact. And by the way, when you remove the Bible from a place, it has an impact as well. And we might think that we're doing a whole lot better than some places, but I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather forego the electricity and the indoor plumbing than let go of my Bible. Amen? Right. Amen? Amen. Wouldn't you? Hey, listen, you got a country that doesn't have all the comforts that we have, but if they've got the Word of God, they've got it better off than we do. Amen. In many, many ways, in the most important ways. Tonight, we're going to look at three perspectives on the Bible. And so if you want to write in the blanks on your paper there, and there should be plenty of white space around the page to write in other notes and things, write down Bible, scripture references and things. So number one, our receiving of the Bible. Our receiving of the Bible. How many of you grew up with Bibles in your home? See your hands? Okay. We live in the the buckle of the Bible Belt here in Oklahoma, but there are very few people around here that didn't have a Bible in their house. Now, whether they went to church or not, there's a Bible in the house. The Bible is just about everybody. How did we get it? How did we get the Bible? And when you talk to people and you talk about the Bible is the Word of God, many times the people will say, it wasn't the Bible just written by men and it's just man's opinion, and you hear those different attacks. But what we need to learn about is where we got the Bible from, and God goes through to great lengths in His Word to explain to us how we got it. And so He tells us where it came from. So letter A, the Bible began with a process called revelation. Revelation is the act of God revealing truths to humans that they would not otherwise know. That sounds like a wordy definition. Listen, revelation is just God shows us stuff we wouldn't know unless He showed it to us. Everybody get that? How you obtain knowledge in your life comes in different ways. Sometimes we get knowledge by reason, sometimes by experience, and other times by revelation. And if you think about it, there's a lot of things that you can learn by reason. There's a lot of things that you can learn from experience. But the most important things that you learn in life don't come from either one of those things. They come from the revelation of God. Like this, where did I come from? What's my purpose in life? Where am I going when this is all over? You're not going to learn the answers to those questions by reason or by experience. The only way you can learn those things is if God reveals them to us, and He has revealed His truth to us in many different ways. One of the ways God reveals His truth to us is through creation. Amen. Do you think that a reasonable person can go outside tonight and look at the stars and not know somewhere deep down in their heart that there is a God that created everything? Anybody else believe that that's just something that people know deep down in their heart? Anybody else think that? I hope you do, because the Bible says so. Amen. The Bible says that the invisible things are clearly seen by the things that are made. And God shows Himself in His handiwork. He shows Himself in creation. And there's something inside of us. He's revealed to Himself through creation. He's also reveals Himself through our conscience. Now, you can go to anybody that claims to be an atheist, and you can ask them some questions. You can ask them something like, do you believe that murder is wrong? Yeah, well, atheists think that murder is wrong. Well, where do they get that? Where do they get their morals from? And every atheist on the planet has morals. There's things that they believe are right and wrong. And where does that come from? It's because God has given every man a conscience. He puts within mankind the knowledge of right and wrong, the knowledge of good and evil. And so God has revealed Himself through conscience. He also reveals Himself most greatly through His Word. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And God gave the prophets, and we read the writings of the prophets, and then He sent Jesus, and we read about the word that the Lord gave through His apostles and through others. God has always spoken to mankind in different ways. Amen. What are some ways that God spoke to men in the Old Testament? The burning bush, yeah. And when that happened, He spoke audibly. Moses heard the voice of God. There's some other ways. Big fish. Okay. There was definitely a clear message. I don't know if God really spoke, but there was definitely a message that was given. How about dreams? Dreams and visions. God spoke through dreams and visions. God sent angels to give messages. There's a lot of different ways. But I want you to know this. The Bible declares of itself that through the Word of God, through the Scripture, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, does that make sense to you, doesn't it? Amen. I know, I get it, because there's some of you that are like me. Sometimes you wish God would just shine a light down from heaven and you could hear a voice from God. But I just want to ask you, if you had a light shine down from heaven and you heard the voice of God, would you not think you had lost it? I mean, would you trust what it said? please, I got to be careful doing stuff like that, because one of these days somebody's going, well, when it happened to me, and then I'm going to be like, I don't even know what to do now. Let's go home. Let's pray and let's dismiss. Listen, if you heard a vision or you saw a vision or dreamed a dream or whatever, listen, I have dreamed some crazy dreams in my life. And I have been sure that there was a message in it. And the message usually had something to do with you do not need to eat that again. Don't eat that ever again, especially not after 10 o'clock at night. I mean, our dreams and stuff can be affected by so much, but listen, you can trust this. Amen. What you get out of this book, you can trust, and it's not, you don't have to worry about if you're losing it or not. You don't have to trust in something that you saw or heard or experienced. This is the same, always the same. Amen. And you can trust in this book. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And Paul told the church at Thessalonica, listen, when we came there, we preached the word of God to you, and you received it. Not just as my word, but you understood that the message we gave you was the word of God. And by the grace of God, as long as I stand in this pulpit, I'm not up here to tell you my word. I'm here to tell you God's word. I might tell you a story. I might tell you something funny. I might tell you something about myself that's not funny, but you laugh anyway. I do all of that to get your attention, to keep your attention, so you'll hear and receive the word of God. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Letter B. The Bible was written down through a process called inspiration. So God started this whole thing with revelation, revealing himself. Just imagine, what would we know about God if he didn't tell us in his word? And so he reveals himself, and then he did something. He gave us the Bible, the written word of God, through inspiration. And so we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that phrase, inspiration, means God breathed. Everybody with me? If you don't know that, write it down. There's a space on your paper. You can write it down. Inspiration equals God breathed. Every word of Scripture is given by the breath of God. Amen. Listen, when you read it off the page, it's just as if God was saying it. Amen. With his own voice. Inspiration of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These guys didn't just go around giving us their opinion. The prophets of God went around saying what God said. They wrote down what God told them to write down. They were just instruments in his hand. Listen, God is the author, and these men who gave us the scriptures, they're like an ink pen in the hand of God. He did the writing. They were just the instrument that he used. Everybody get that? Yes, it was written by men, but they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. They were inspired, and the words that we have are God-breathed. Letter C, the Bible has been delivered to us through a process called preservation. Preservation. If you want to preserve a document today, how do you do it?
Save it on an SD card.
Laminate it. You know what most people are doing with their documents today? They don't have documents anymore. Their documents are electronic files. They scan them in. Right? It's saved on a hard drive somewhere. And that's not enough, because if you're like me, you've had a computer crash and you lost everything. And so you got backup hard drives. And now we live in the age of the cloud, so now everything's on the cloud or in the cloud. Is it on it or in it? Okay. And now there's a whole bunch of those. And so everything's backed up. It's digitally preserved for us today. And if my computer crashes, it's okay, because all my files are in Dropbox and I can get them later at any time. It's awesome. I love it. But you know what? God gave the Bible when there was no Dropbox. There was no hard drive. There were no SD cards. There weren't even fax machines or copy machines. Or what are those old ones called? Mammographs or something like that? Mimeograph. Thank you very much. I remember those. They had one at school. It was awesome. Man, it was. What, didn't it make everything purple? Yeah, good stuff. Quit looking at me like I'm crazy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. God gave us the Bible when there were none of those things. How did he do it? Well, he's God. Amen. And he worked to preserve what he gave us. I am amazed at people who have no problem believing that God has revealed himself through his word, that believe without any problem that God inspired every word, but then they stop there and they don't believe that God preserved his word. I don't understand that. Why would he give it to us if he wasn't going to keep it? Why would he give it to us if he wasn't going to preserve it? What would be the purpose? That would be cruel and unusual. Hey, listen, I gave you the word 2,000 years ago, but whatever you got now, that's not it. Come on. That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't match with the character of our God. And he says in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, write that down, Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's word is pure, and he's going to keep it forever and ever. Amen. That's a promise you need to cling to. How has God preserved his word for us? I believe with all my heart that God has preserved his word for us as English-speaking people today in the King James Version of the Bible. I use this version of the Bible not because it's what my grandma used, but because I believe that this is the way God has preserved it. Amen. I'm not going to take the time to get into it tonight, but if you want to compare this version of the Bible with any other version that's available to you in English today, there are huge differences. Amen. Right. I got this thing. If God gave us his word and preserved his word, then there can't be major differences in the word. Can there? In the book of Colossians, the Bible says that we have redemption through his blood. And I challenge you to find another modern modern version of the English Bible that doesn't take his blood out of that verse. I don't want any version of the Bible that takes the blood out. Amen. I think the blood's important. Amen. And that's just one example of many, many, many. Now listen. I hesitate because I want to take away from that at all. I believe with all my heart God has preserved his word through the King James Version. I would not go as far as to say I've heard men stand up and say that you can't get saved unless it's a King James Version of the Bible. That's crazy. Amen. Listen, I don't have to have a Bible. I don't have to read from this word for word to lead somebody to Christ. Amen. Do I? No, I can give them my testimony and lead them to Christ. Amen. Listen, It's not that, but God has preserved his word, and I just am so thankful for the doctrine of preservation. Amen. If you don't believe in that, I don't know how you have any hope. And listen, I've got friends I love dearly, and I have no doubt that they know the Lord, but they've got so many different versions of the Bible when they study. I don't even know how they keep it straight. And they get one, and then they stand up and preach and say, you know, I like the way this version says it better. And I think, man, I like the way that version says it better too, but that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Word says. So you got to be careful. Number two, let's talk about the reliability of the Bible. The reliability of the Bible. Letter A, the Bible's reliability is seen as in its inerrancy. In its inerrancy. There are no errors in the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And this book will stand up to any scrutiny you want to throw at it. People have attacked the historical accounts in the Bible. They have said things like King David never really existed. They've said things like Sodom and Gomorrah weren't real cities. They were just made up. And yet, historically, when the archaeologists go and look from the Bible and the clues that are there, they go and they can find the places that the Bible says were there. Amen. the people that the Bible says were there, who historians for centuries did not believe in, said they were myths and made up, the Bible will always bear itself out to be true. Historically, archaeologically, and I think greatest of all, prophetically. Oh man, it's amazing if you study the prophecy of the Bible and things that were written, recorded, and stored in places untouched for centuries, and prophecies that were fulfilled by those things. See, a lot of skeptics want to say, well, yeah, the Bible's prophecies come true. They wrote it after it happened. But it is a historical, archaeological fact that many of the prophecies given in the Word of God happened after it was written. And that's for the skeptics. For you as a believer, every prophecy God gave, He gave it, and it happened exactly as He said it would. Now, we know that Jesus fulfilled hundreds of prophecies by His birth, life, death, and resurrection. Amen. Hundreds. And He has many more yet to fill. Amen. Fulfill. But I love it. There's a book called Science Speaks by Peter Stoner. And he calculates the probability of Jesus fulfilling 8 of the specific prophecies concerning Him. He calculates the probability of one man fulfilling 8, not hundreds, which he did, just 8. And he said that the chance that any man might have to fulfill all 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Now, that doesn't mean much to me, but he described it like this, which helped me a little bit. Now, if you would take 10 to the 17th power silver dollars and cover the state of Texas with them, they would cover the entire state of Texas 2 feet thick. Now you take one of those silver dollars and you put a mark on the back of it and you put it out there in the middle of it and mix it all up. Now the chance of one man fulfilling 8 of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ is the odds that any one of us could wander out in the middle of Texas and pick up that one silver dollar on our first try. Does that help? How many of you have been to Texas? You've seen it on a map? It's a big place. Amen. By the way, I wouldn't mind having just this room full of silver dollars up to 2 feet thick. That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Listen, Jesus, his prophecies just in his life are amazing. We just came out of Christmas time, and you think about the prophecies of his birth and everything surrounding. It's just amazing how God made it all work. That he would be, he had to be from Nazareth, because that was part of it. But he had to be born in Bethlehem, that was part of it. But he had to be called out of Egypt, because that was part of it. Well, how was God going to do it? How was he going to be from 3 places? Well, God, he used wicked men like Herod to bring that all about. Amen. Isn't it amazing? And that's just a few. But the prophecies that the Word of God, it's historical, it's historically, archaeologically, and prophetically accurate in every way. Now, I love all that stuff, and I love studying about how the archaeologists have gone down and they've discovered the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. I love Brother John Melanson, when he was here, sharing a lot of those things with us. I mean, I love it. I love it how they've been excavating where Jericho was and how that they have unequivocally proven that the walls fell down outward, which is just not what you would expect. That's not the way that's supposed to work. And all of those different things, it's just amazing. But I gotta remind you, all of those things are great. They can bolster your faith. But ultimately, our faith just has to be in the Word of God. Amen. Ultimately, our faith has to be in the God of the Word. And a lot of men have set out to prove the Bible wrong only to come to faith in Christ. Amen. C.S. Lewis was one of those men. You've heard about his, they made some new movies not so long ago, The Chronicles of Narnia, and all the pictures and allegory of Christ and that. Well, he didn't start out that way. He hated Christianity. He was an atheist, and he fought against Christianity and sought to prove it wrong only to come to faith in Christ. Not so many years ago, you might remember Lee Strobel. He kind of the same kind of deal. He was a a reporter kind of guy, a journalist, and he set out to prove the Bible wrong only to come to faith in Christ. And listen, the Bible will prove itself to be true. It'll stand up to any scrutiny. And anytime you have somebody attack you and say, hey, listen, that book's full of errors. There's a bunch of contradictions in it. You don't back down. You don't have to know all the answers, but you don't be afraid to accept those challenges. You don't know the answer? That's all right. Go back, study it out, and look it up and learn, and it will always stand up. The Bible's reliability is seen in its inerrancy. And letter B, the Bible's reliability is seen in its indestructibility. The Bible is without error, but it is not without enemies. From the very beginning, Satan has cast doubt on the Word of God, trying to get people to deny the Word of God. He hates the Word of God, and he has done a really good job of distorting the Word of God. But he will never be able to destroy the Word of God.
Amen.
Did you get that? He wants you to deny it. He wants you to doubt it, but he can never destroy it. So he distorts it. Many of you have heard about Voltaire. He was a French author and philosopher, born in 1694. He died in 1778. And he's considered by many secularists to be France's greatest writer and philosopher, and he hated the Bible. As a matter of fact, he was quoted as having stated, "It took centuries to build up Christianity, but I'll show how one Frenchman can destroy it within 50 years. One author wrote, "He took his pen, dipped it into the ink of unbelief, and wrote against God." And he swore that he was going to wipe out Christianity with his philosophical writings. You might have heard that years later, in 1759, he purchased an estate called Ferney on the French-Swiss border. He lived and wrote his anti-Christian material from the place he said he was going to destroy Christianity. But after he died, the Geneva Bible Society purchased that property. And from his former home, they printed thousands and thousands of Bibles. I love that story. And you know, there are dozens more like it. I want to tell you, and you can study it sometime, but people who violently or vehemently speak out against God and His Word, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to do, because God is long-suffering, He's gracious, He's merciful, but sooner or later, God's going to have enough.
Amen.
God's Word has been under attack, and it's still under attack today, but His Word will stand forever. Number three, our response to the Bible. God's revealed it, He's inspired it, He's preserved it, we can trust it. So what do we do with it? Letter A, we should respond by reading it. It's a crazy idea, isn't it? I was talking with one of our men just before church. He talked about how he'd been saved a long, long time, and how he had been saved, but he didn't really read his Bible like he should. Anybody else can relate to that?
Amen.
He credits Brother Richard Crawford for helping him to start to read his Bible regularly. I thank God for Brother Crawford.
Amen.
I'll tell you this. It's one of the first things I noticed as I came to be your pastor is how many of you study your Bible regularly. And I don't think you just read it to mark it off a checklist. I think a lot of you really study your Bible. It comes out in your conversation. And those of you that teach, it comes out in your teaching and the questions that are asked and just in regular conversation. Listen, we ought to read the Bible.
Amen.
What a crazy thing that God would give us His Word. He would preserve it forever. We would know that we can trust it completely and then not read it. Anybody else amazed by that? I love what Zig Ziglar used to ask people. He would always ask, how many of you read the news every day?
Amen.
How many of you believe everything you read in the news? And then he would ask, how many of you believe everything you read in the Bible? How many of you read it every day? And it's crazy because a lot of people, though, they spend more time reading what they don't believe than they read what they do believe. Amen. And we need to get in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul admonished Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Psalm 143, verse 8, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." We need to spend daily time in the Bible. And we've got our quarterly devotional books where you can read a devotional every day. We've got these books, and we're going to be getting more of these if anybody wants some. But just a daily in the Word devotional. There are so many different ways you can go about reading your Bible every day. There are so many different Bible plans. You can read through the Bible in a year. You can read through the Bible four times in a year. You can read through the Bible once every 2 years. It really doesn't matter. It's not really about the quantity. It's about your quality of time in the Bible. That you get alone with God, you spend time in prayer and say, "Lord, speak to me through your word." And it doesn't matter whether you read a verse or a chapter or a book, but that you read the word of God every day. Amen. It is our spiritual food. I was talking to the kids about it just the other night. We had read the verse that says that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we're talking about how we need food. But more important than physical food, we need the Word of God. We need spiritual food. Amen. Letter B, we should respond by meditating on it. Joshua 1:8, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We need to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 19:14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Meditate. We need to think on it all the time. How many of you are worriers? You like to worry about stuff? And all of the women raise their hand. And most of the men, too. Most of us, we worry about stuff. And we can try to say, "Well, I don't worry, I'm just concerned." What happens when you're worried about something? Don't you think about it all the time? I mean, if you're at work and you're worried about something, you may get busy with your work, but then all of a sudden it comes back to your mind. You start thinking about it. And then you distract yourself with something else, but it just keeps coming back. You know, that's exactly what we need to do with the Word of God. I mean, you get busy with something for a little while, but then that verse needs to come back to your mind, that scripture. And then you do this, and that needs to come back to your mind. Then you get in your car and you drive across town, and that needs to come back to your mind. And rather than worrying about things that we can't control anyway, we need to meditate on the Word of God. Letter C, we should respond by memorizing it. Anybody think they're too old to memorize anything anymore? Kathy. Anybody else? Oh, come on now. I think we've made ourselves pretty lazy. I don't know about you. I used to have dozens and dozens of phone numbers memorized. Anybody else used to do that? It doesn't matter. I could pick up a phone, I could dial so many different phone numbers. It was amazing. I really impressed myself, the number of phone numbers I could memorize. You know how many numbers I have memorized now? Maybe 3. I could barely remember my own. You know why? Because my smartphone has made me stupid.
Amen.
Right? And you don't even have to have a smartphone, because my old flip phone would hold hundreds of numbers. We have created a problem with ourselves because we don't have to remember anything anymore. And I think we've made our brains lazy. But we don't need to be lazy about memorizing the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll meditate on the Word of God, you'll memorize the Word of God. But we need to be purposeful about it. I'll just confess to you, most of the memorization I've done in Scripture has just been by accident. I didn't set out to memorize it. It's just if you teach and preach long enough, you repeat verses long enough, you learn them. It just kind of happens. But it is possible for us to set out to do that intentionally, and God will bless that. Maybe you've got a topic. Maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. Maybe you need forgiveness, or maybe you need to forgive somebody else. So you get your Bible out, you get your concordance open, you find scriptures about forgiveness, and you write those down, and you work at memorizing those verses. Maybe whatever it is, maybe you're struggling with fear or great, or you want to learn about grace or whatever. Find a topic in the Bible, look up some verses, write them down, and work at memorizing them, and God will bless you for it. Letter D, we should respond by hearing it preached and taught. Titus 1:3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And we can't underestimate the importance of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. God has promised to use the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And here's something for you guys to look up a little later. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Paul preached till after midnight. And only one person fell asleep. And he died. Amen? I'm pretty sure I'm getting that right. You don't believe me, look it up. He preached till midnight. Everybody stayed awake except one kid who fell asleep, fell out of the window, and died. I'm not telling you the rest of the story. You just keep that in mind next time you get a little sleepy during the preaching. Because it's not even 8 o'clock yet. Letter E, we should respond by obeying it. Respond by obeying it. If you don't know that story, go look it up. Acts chapter 20, it's good stuff. James 1, 22 to 25. Most everybody in this room tonight doesn't have any problem believing the Word of God. We believe it. We know it's true. Most of you, I would say the vast majority of you really don't have any trouble with reading it. Maybe some of you aren't there yet where you're reading it every day. By the way, what gets scheduled gets done. If you don't make it part of your daily routine, it's not going to happen. You need to make it part of your routine.
Amen.
I hope everybody brushes your teeth every day.
Amen.
If you can remember to brush your teeth every day, then you can remember to read your Bible every day.
Amen.
And maybe you've got to spend a little less time on the internet or with the TV on, but who cares?
Amen.
So I don't think most of us have any trouble believing it. I don't think most of us have any trouble with reading it. Maybe you meditate even on it. What I try to do is when I read my Bible every morning, there's always something that jumps out at me. There's always something that God kind of touches my heart with. And I try to think about that through the day. I try to meditate on that throughout the day. I try to remember that verse, remember that thought. Even if it's just a part of a verse, I try to hang on to that. I think most of us don't have any trouble with that. But I think we have a little bit of trouble obeying it.
Amen.
But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I don't know if you want to be blessed, but if you want to be blessed, then you have to be obedient. I've been saved since I was 14 years old. I have not always read my Bible like I should, but it's something that God's changed in my life. And I will confess to you tonight that I still struggle with the obedience of the Word of God. But I want to give you some encouragement. Because It gets easier. You see, God works at, through His Word, He works at us to put off the old man and put on the new man. And there are things that I did years ago that I wouldn't even think about doing now. I have no desire to do now. Because God's changed my heart. You know how He did that? He did it through His Word.
Amen.
And when we obey, we do what God says a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, we move more and more towards Christ's likeness and less like the old man. It's not easy. He never said it was going to be easy. But I just want to challenge you that if you fall, get back up. If you fail, confess it and repent and ask the Lord to help you. And it doesn't matter how many times it takes, it is always right to repent and get right. We have been given an incredible gift in the Word of God. I think that we are so overwhelmed. We've got so much of it, we don't realize how blessed we are with it. Listen, you go in my office right now, there are probably dozens of Bibles in there. At my house, there are probably half a dozen or more Bibles. I got a Bible on my phone in my pocket. There are Bibles everywhere. But because it's so prolific, I think we forget how special it is. This is the living Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is no ordinary book.
Amen.
Let's be faithful to read it, to meditate on it. Let's be faithful to memorize it. And let's strive to obey it day by day. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me.